I'd like to share today's God's word with turning faithlessness into faithfulness. Ever since we were born, from many people, we receive some degree of benefits. From the moments we were born, we receive the grace from our parents. And throughout our lives, we receive grace and generosity from many people. But some people, rather than being thankful, they only look at their shortcomings and difficult reality and think and live as if they have not received any grace at all. And as a result, they have no gratitude for the grace, no desire to show generosity, and don't have the hearts and mind to let the grace flow to others. Therefore, their hearts and lives become so dry, and it leads them to an unhappy life without gratitude and joy. On the other hand, those who know grace live a blessed life. They live with confession that it is God's grace that they have come this far. And their life becomes more prosperous because of God's grace. Since they have gratitude and joy, they want to extend that grace they have received to others. Therefore, they are loved by people and live a blessed life and bears many fruits in their life. So knowing God's grace is the greatest blessing in life. The greatest grace in the sight of God is to know grace as grace and to live in it and to live by it. Today, we came out to church and worshiping and listening to the word of God. And although it is important to receive grace through today's worship service, but what's more important is to be aware of such grace as God's grace, not simply enjoying the mood. A truly wonderful person is the one who does not forget the grace and blessing they have received. Although many people live without knowing the grace, we as a Christian must remember the grace we have received. And more importantly, we must remember grace in our lives because our true Christian life starts when we accept God's grace as grace. And such acceptance will bring us the heart of passion and devotion. This is a source that brings power for us to serve God as our response to His grace. Apostle Paul is the one who receives grace and realized the preciousness of that grace. He knew that he received undeserved grace. This is why Paul's life was filled with joy and gratitude and thanksgiving, which brought loyalty to God. We must remember that we are all in great need of God's grace. We are the sinful being who cannot live a single day without His grace. That is why if we try to live our lives with our own effort, with our own strength, without the grace of God, we will end up with a very difficult life and full of failures. And today's text proves this. The text of Exodus 34 can be said to be the conclusion of the events that began in chapter 32. The people of Israel were called by God's grace and received grace to leave Egypt and go to the promised land, but they did not regard grace as grace. And whenever they faced difficulties, they blamed Moses and they blamed God and lived their lives relying on their own righteousness. Eventually, while Moses received the law from God at the Mount Sinai, the people of Israel could not wait, and they had Aaron to make them a golden calf, an idol, and let that God guide them. And when Moses saw this, he got angry, and he threw the stone tablets he had received from God, and he broke them. And it came to a point where the covenant with the Israelites was destroyed. However, through Moses' intercession, and through God-fearing people, God wanted to make a new covenant with them. He wanted to restore the covenant that was broken by Israel's sin. You know, oftentimes we forget, we lose Him, we forget about Him, and we choose to make our own way. But God's grace and wisdom is greater than ours, so He intervenes in our lives to save us. God watch over our lives and provide the way to solve the problems. And he recovers our failures and brokenness and give us another chance. So determined to make a new covenant, God calls Moses again. Then he made him to make the new stone tablets, like the first one, and told him to come up to the top of Mount Sinai. And during God's presence, Mount Sinai became a holy place. So no one, not even animals, could come near the mountains. But in fact, we see that God is repeating what he did in Exodus chapter 24, which was a time when God made the first covenant with them. In other words, God is trying to restore the people of Israel who forgot God's grace and sinned against God by making an idol, the golden calf, and worshiping them. God is restoring them and granting them another chance, another grace, so that they can start over again. The breaking of the stone tablets by Moses was a symbolic act indicating that the Israelites had broken their covenant with the Lord. However, telling Moses to make the stone tablets again implies that God wants to restore the broken relationship again. God was angry because of Israel's betrayal and infidelity. He loved them and cherished them as treasures, but they forgot God's grace and betrayed him. I'm sure it was such a heart-aching moment for God. But nevertheless, God is trying to restore the relationship. He is reaching out to Israel, who is corrupted, who is sinful, and who became far away from God. And once again, and he's reaching out his hand by saying, let's start over again. Let's start over again. What a grace. What a grace. And when Moses came up to the mountain, God came in the clouds and proclaimed his name and attributes. Verse 6 to 7 says like this, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Compassionate God, gracious God, God is who is slow to anger. God is merciful. God of faithfulness. God of forgiveness. God again tells Moses the attribute of God. This verse is God's self-revelation. And it is so important that the word is used 6 times in the Old Testament alone. There is a record that these attributes were what they had to learn in order to become like God. And they became their profession of faith. And they have been confessed for a generation at every religious festival. That is why telling them about his attributes in a situation where the covenant was almost completely destroyed due to the golden calf incident was God's signal that God wanted to restore the relationship with Israel. In other words, even though God was hurt by the golden calf incident, he declared himself, I am Jehovah, Jehovah, and revealed his own attributes and emphasizing that his grace and mercy toward Israel are unchanging. And by revealing the various names of God, God is telling them how wonderful, great, and abundant his grace is. The various attributes of God that he has spoken can be summarized into 2 words, mercy and justice. God's mercy means a mother's maternal love and concern for her child. So even though the people of Israel fell away from God by falling into idolatry, God is showing his boundless love for their people. However, one of the most important attributes of God that we often forget is justice. God, who is compassionate, merciful. So he gives iniquity. But he does not forgive those who do not turn from their sins to the end. He says that he will repay their father's sin for 3 to 4 generations. Well, this doesn't mean that the son will be punished for the sins committed by their father. But what this means is that just as good deeds of one person can impact, have impact on those around them and to the future generation, all evil deeds committed by one person can inevitably affect their families and their neighbors. You know, throughout the history of Israel, if there is a one person who enjoyed the greatest wealth and glory as a result of God's blessing, it would be King Solomon. Right? However, he forgot the grace he received from God, and he fell into sin. He fell into sin of worshiping idols by believing in his wrath, in his wealth and strength, instead of relying on God. So God told Solomon to throw away his idols, but he did not listen to the warning. So after Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into north and south, and we are all aware that God's justice, aware of God's justice in not allowing them to be unified until they were destroyed. Also, if you look at 2 Chronicles, King Hezekiah became proud and forgot God's grace. So he and Judah and Jerusalem had to face the wrath of God. God blessed the life of King Hezekiah in many ways. God gave him wealth, power, reputation. But when his name is being lifted up and other people started to praise him, he forgot the fact that it is God who blessed him. And he became arrogant, and out of his pride, he idolized himself and turned himself away from God. So when God spoke about the judgment, Moses rushed to fall to the ground and worship God in order to pray for the restoration of the covenant before God. Verse 9 says like this, "Lord," he said, "if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance." Moses used the word us and our 4 times, asking God to continue to be with Israel by forgiving their sins and acknowledge them as the Lord's people. Well, in fact, Moses did not worship the golden calf, right? But he united himself with the people and he pleaded with God. And he confesses how sinful he and the people of Israel are. Moses confessed that Israel was stiff-necked people who had no choice but to be sinners before God by repeating their sins. And according to the words of word of God's wrath, the stiff-necked people were the reason Israel had to be destroyed. Nevertheless, Moses is asking asking God for forgiveness and asking God to walk with them. You know, this shows that the basis for God's forgiveness and basis for his guidance is not Israel's deeds, but is God's grace. If you look at the history of Israel, you can see that the problem of idolatry was root of their sin. But if God had judged them, if God had judged Israel each time for their sin, the future of Israel would have been hopeless. However, because the future of Israel is based on the grace of God, not on their deeds, they were able to live in hope in the midst of despair. You know, one of the most important attributes of God is this nevertheless grace. Even though they have committed a great sin, so that they even destroyed the covenant by turning away from God and worshiping idols, God nevertheless allow the grace of restoration. The golden calf incident clearly showed that the Israel was never worthy of making a covenant with God. And this, the new covenant, was not made Because Israel lived a life according to God's will. As Moses said, they have always been just a stiff-necked people. They were a stiff-necked people even when they committed the terrible sin of making and worshiping the golden calf. They were a stiff-necked people even when they made a new covenant with God. Therefore, it shows that the covenant newly made with them is not a covenant of works based on any attributes or deeds of the people, but a covenant of grace based on God's attribute and His grace. Not only this new covenant, but even the first covenant itself is ultimately based on God's grace. And Moses knew this so well. He knew that there were stiff-necked people who were bound to be sinners before God. And he was well aware that he must constantly receive the grace of forgiveness of sins before God. So based on that grace, he is asking them to give them grace once again and make them the Lord's inheritance. In other words, make them the people that belong to the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the reason why we dare to live as God's people before the Lord, even though we are sinners. It is God's mercy, not our righteousness, that dares us to live as His people. Therefore, we must not forget that we became His children because of God's redemptive grace and the intercession of Jesus, which was greater than the intercession of Moses. So we must not be arrogant, always remembering how stiff-necked and wicked we are and how great and wonderful His nevertheless grace is. Therefore, remembering that we are sinners and bowing down before Him is a true way of God's people. You know, one of the most favorite songs for a Christian is Amazing Grace. And this song was made by John Newton. And he lost his mother when he was young. His living environment was not good. And later, he worked as the one who bought and sold slaves. Then one day, he accepted Jesus Christ during the time of trial. And after he experienced the thrill of salvation, he started serving the church, and he received a call to be a pastor. He went to the seminary. After he became a pastor, he always preached on conversion and salvation. And in the end of his ages, he was waiting to meet the Lord, and one member came and asked him a question. What is the most important, memorable thing you have ever had in your life? What is the most unforgettable thing in your life? Then John Newton said, "What can I remember as an old man? All I remember is two things. First is that I'm a great sinner before God. And second is how God loves a sinner like me and saved me." What would you say if someone asked you this question? You know, although we forget things, many things so easily, we must not forget that we are the great sinner before God. And God loves a sinner like us, like me. And God saved me and made His children. You know, I don't know if I shared this story, but one day this one deacon in my small group called me, and she was crying and shared what happened to her. And she had a dream, and she saw the dirty and smelly bugs filling up her house. So she tried to, like, clean up. She tried to sweep away the bugs with a hose, with a water hose. But it was too much that it didn't even work at all. Then God told her that all these bugs are your sins. And after realizing that this is how much she had sinned against God, and how hopeless and helpless being she is, and how sinful and miserable she is before God, she felt so sorry for her sin and were amazed by the grace she has received. And she couldn't handle this by herself. She was amazed by God's grace. And she called me, and we asked for prayer. So we talked, and we earnestly and tearfully confessed our faith together and shared the grace of God. You know, knowing God's grace is the greatest blessing. The more we realize how sinful we are, the more we will feel God's grace. God's grace doesn't come big to us because we somehow think that we aren't okay you know, we're an okay person. We think that we deserve some kind of grace because I have done this and I have done that. We think that we're not that bad sinner because we're trying to live a good life. And this is why we don't have the full grasp of God's amazing grace. If there's no gratitude toward God for the grace He has shown us, and if there's no desire to show and know Jesus, then we're missing out everything. The blessing and prosperity that we are enjoying becomes meaningless. And we can sometimes forget to thank God for His grace. Or sometimes don't even think about thanking God. And this is the greatest hypocrisy, which is one of the problems for Christians. Despite receiving the grace of the cross, we still have the weakness of living with a stiff neck due to our failing sins. And we fall into sin every time. And we may lose hope, and we may wander in our lives. But nevertheless, we must rise again by relying on the grace of Christ who loves us to the end. Not because I am righteous, not because I have the strength to rise, but by relying on God's great grace and by holding onto the hand of the Lord who says, let's start over again. In the Middle Ages, some monks built a monastery on the top of a mountain and tried to live a holy life. There was a small village down the mountain, and the people in the village were very curious about their life in the monastery. One day, a monk came down to the village to find something to eat, and a farmer ran up to the monk and bowed down to him and asked, you built a monastery on the top of the mountain, and you try to lead a godly life. How close are you to God? How do you keep yourself holy every day? The monk raises the farmer up and he said, we fall and we rise again. We fall and we rise again. We fall and we rise again. The story of this monk and the farmer is a comforting story for us. None of us are perfect. Every day we fall into sin. Every day we experience the failure in our faith. Every day we see our weaknesses. Every day we forget God's grace. But we get to rise again. We get to start over again. Not because we are faithful, not because we are righteous, but because God is faithful and because God is righteous. And because of God's graciousness, we get another chance. Perhaps the person who received the most love and grace from God would be David. This is not because David did not sin. Rather, David committed a more wicked sin than any other ordinary people. But he was a man who immediately recognizes his sin and knew how to kneel before God. He was a man who knew how to mourn for his sins and weep so much that his bed was all wet. And God valued David's such faith. And even though he had many sins, God showed him amazing love and gave him the nevertheless grace. Worshiping and praising God is the greatest way to show our gratitude. Because this is our action to show God that we are remembering His grace. Just like Paul's confession in which he states, everything I am, everything I do is because of God's grace. God wants to receive the praise of thanksgiving from the depth of our hearts upon our realization of God's grace. Our hearts need to commune with God and express praise and gratitude to Him. And praising and thanksgiving, thanking God is important because it reestablishes our relationship with God. This is how we can experience second chance in our failures. It allows us to recount God's goodness. So we must appreciate His work in our lives. In every situation, we are to have an attitude of thankfulness toward God. And this is not merely a formulaic exercise, but a way of concretely expressing from the heart gratitude for those many gifts that come from him daily. When the blessing of life is seen as a result of God's grace, it makes us into a gentler and more grateful people. Remember, we're the people who cannot stand again without the grace of God. But if we rely on God's grace to come before the Lord will forgive us and make us stand again with his powerful arms. And we will receive the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, who has been generously given for our sins. And his grace will enable us to live in hope as a people of the kingdom of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to come before his grace once again. Although we are living in sin, although we fall into sin every day, although we see our weaknesses, we fall every time, and we're entangled by sin, we must remember that God nevertheless loves someone like me. God nevertheless loves us and waits for us to return to him without destroying us, without abandoning us. Although we are sinful and weak in many ways, God still embraces us, cares for us, and loves us. What a grace and what a love is this. And I want you to be thrilled by this amazing love and grace and come before the Lord. God called Moses to come up to the Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, the place to be. Back to grace. Back to grace. This is where the Lord wants us to stand. This is where God wants to renew us. This is where God wants to reestablish the broken relationship. And he's calling you to turn back to him, to remember his grace. And when we turn ourselves back to him and to the power of the gospel, even though there are tragedies or difficulties in our lives, we will experience the joy and peace we find in Christ. And he will turn all of our worries and cries into hope of eternal life. Therefore, I earnestly bless you in the name of the Lord to come before his grace once again and renew your relationship with God, who loves you nevertheless, to worship him and enjoy the privilege of living as the covenant people. And let us reset our relationship with God, come back to his grace, and find him, meet him, and reset your worship life. Reset your spiritual life. Reset your loving relationship with him. And reset your intimacy with God. God has redeemed us in spite of who we are. And we rest in his mercy forever. And may this beauty and majesty of the gospel empower your life as you remember his grace and share his grace with others. And may Jesus be magnified more and more throughout your lives. Amen.